I'm gonna have to bust your bubble.
What's that? Oh, Lord, changed your mind about the Christmas tree, huh?
The Holy Spirit led me in a different direction.
That's all right.
So, hopefully he'll let me do it to you tonight, but if not to you, maybe even another night we can use that. We can use it any time during the year, but... How many of you glad to be here this morning? How many of you rather be in jail somewhere? Hospital? Nursing home? Ren Yates? Twice good? All right. So you're glad to be here this morning? Amen. All right. Well, I tell you, I should not have said anything Wednesday night about the Christmas tree, but that's what I was aiming to preach. That's what I was aiming to do this morning. But the Lord, he changed my heart, spoke to me about something else. And I pray that you get something out of it. I did. If no one else gets anything out of what we said this morning, I did. The Lord really spoke to me about it. But you can turn over there to the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I think before we go any further, before we even read the scripture, I would like for anyone that wanted to just to come up and just pray over the offering that we got this morning, and even the happy birthday envelopes. This is something that I started years ago, and it wasn't me, it was the Lord, and he put it upon my heart back then. And I've always, when I thought about it, I'd always try to discuss it with him. If I was going to a church, visiting a church or whatever, I'd always mention it to the pastor that I think that a whole lot of time we put too many and too much emphasis on buying gifts for everyone around, but we don't really put the Lord Jesus number one in it. And if we always put him first, and that's what that represents, is him first. We give unto him, and then we don't have to worry about anything else because he's going to provide the other things. And but when the first time that I had it, we had about, I think it was about six or maybe seven little small children, about the age of Catherine and Jojo back out. And they went downstairs. And then they had come up and they had laid the money, the envelopes up here. And I had the trustees and the deacons of the church to come and pray over it. And we'll let them know that night what we got. But you may tell you what, but what really thrilled my heart and thrilled my soul, before the chairman and the deacon, before he started leading in prayer, the back door swung open. And he said, wait a minute, preacher. And it was a young boy, a young man, about the same, probably maybe at that time, about the same age of maybe JoJo, and he swung the doors open and he said, "Wait a minute, preacher, I got something for you." In which the Sunday school teacher had passed out all the envelopes to the children, and I asked the people, "You just give what you think that the Lord wants you to give. If you feel like the Lord just wants you to give one penny, he'll take that one penny and he'll turn that one penny into a dime." And I said, "You give it one penny, you give a dollar, you give whatever, It's no, this is not tithe, it's not an offering, just this is right here, just a love gift to the Lord for his birthday. Remembering him today. And he came, that little boy come forth, and he come forth with a stack of envelopes. Some of them had a penny in it. And I don't know, it may not have been them. Could have been a grown-up put the penny in. Could have been the child that put a dollar or $10 in. I don't know. Because I did not ask nobody to put the name on nothing or sign anything. But he came forth and he brought it. And the people, they was really concerned about it because they didn't know what we was going to do with it. They said, well, why? What are you going to do that for? We have already took the offering. We already took up the tithes. We done already sacrificed this. We done give and give and give. Because when I first went downtown, they took up and the tithe was on Sunday morning. They took up the church tithes, but they didn't think about no offering. So I started taking up offering on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I says, they said, what's this for? I said, for the Lord. If you got a dollar, you put it in. If you ain't got a dollar, you put what you can in it. I said, if you got a quarter, you put a quarter. If you got a nickel, you put a nickel in there. If that's all we get is a nickel, that's a nickel more than what we've had. And that's going to be a blessing because that's a sacrifice. You that give, you that gave this morning during Sunday school, then during preaching, and even in the gift that you give to the Lord. You give your tithes, your offering, and you give a sacrifice. That's what the offering is. But when he brought them forth, that blessed my heart right there. I said, if we don't get but a dime out of the whole crowd, that right there was enough to bless me. Because the teacher was teaching them something and they learned something. So that's one reason. I mean, that's not the main reason I started it, but I just started it where I could get people involved and really looking at the meaning of really Christmas. But here in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 38, and we're going to go down to verse 42. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. It says this, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Brother B, if you want to just come up or you want to do it right there, either one, I just want you to lead us in prayer this morning and pray for the happy birthday Jesus envelopes. The Lord will bless that and bless the offering. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now my salvation and my battle, Father, no other way, Lord. You came into this world as a baby, dear Father. You became my sacrifice, dear Father, that you might be saved, dear Father. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for your people that are here today, dear Lord. We thank you for the offering, dear Father. Thank you for the generosity of your people.
Yes.
Pray that you'll bless every one, dear Father, Lord. Lead us, Lord. And remember, dear Lord, whatever's in our Lord, dear Father, you'll bless it many times over, dear Father, as it goes toward your work, dear Father. We're just so thankful, dear Father, for how you've already blessed us, dear Father. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for his wife, dear Father, for every individual that may be here today, dear Lord.
Yes.
Just so thankful for all that you've done and all that you continue.
Amen and amen. I want to bring you a message on this thought this morning. What kind of Christmas are you having? What kind of Christmas are you having today? I know that Christmas is the 25th, it's Thursday. Just a few days. But what kind of Christmas are you planning for? And this is about Mary and Martha, right here. Planning and meeting the Savior of the world, and planning and being able to sit down and speak to Him and talk to Him. But it says right here, says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Into her house. This was Martha's home. It was not her sister's. It was Martha's home. And Martha was planning for the days ahead. Martha was planning for Christmas. She was planning for a gathering. But right now, we here today, we are planning for the days ahead. What kind of Christmas are we aiming to have? Are we aiming to have a Christ-centered Christmas? Are we aiming to have a Christless-centered Christmas? Is Christ going to be the center of our Christmas? Is He going to be the most important thing at Christmas? Or is it going to be the cooking that you ladies do? And I know that you're going to cook, and you're going to cook for your family. But are you going to allow that to interfere with your worship in the Lord Jesus Christ? So many times we allow things to come into our lives that interrupts our worship unto the Lord, that interrupts our sweet fellowship. Mary right here, Martha right here, she had a younger sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His words. Mary was more concerned about the Lord, and she was more concerned about her own spiritual need, because she wanted to hear something from the Lord. But Martha, she got upset with Mary, because Mary had left her in the kitchen alone. In the kitchen alone in preparing the meal for Jesus and the individuals, the apostles, the disciples that came with Him. She was in our long apparent preparing the meal. How many times have we ever been in that place? How many times have you ever been in that place, ladies, that you maybe and your daughter or somebody else in the family have got together and planned out your meal, planned out your Christmas dinner, and what you're going to have on Christmas, what kind of food you're going to have to eat, what kind of meat it's going to be there. But then, in the meantime, when you're halfway through it all, your helper, the one that was helping you prepare, says, I need to run out for a little while. I need to run to the store. Coming up with excuses to get out or finish in the job at hand. Same way with us. We come up with all kinds of excuses today and just taking away from the things that we should be doing and the things that we need to be focusing on. Jesus Christ would rather for us to be focused on Him and be focused on that sinner right here that's going up and down the highway, and be focused on our family members, and be focused on the friends that's not in church that just comes when it want to come, but just be focused on certain things. But He wants us to be focused on the things that where we can build up, not earthly things, but the things that we must build up on. It has to be about the heavenly thing, because that's, we're going to spend more time in heaven with our Lord and Savior than we ever spend time down here. Because we can spend 200 years down here. Well, look at how old was Methuselah. He was way up in that age. Well, thank be to God, he's going to be there in heaven. He's there in heaven now. And he's going to spend more time with the Lord in heaven than he ever spent on time here on earth. So yeah, the things that I want to put up for heavenly things to gain. I don't want to put up no earthly thing. Hey, I got a home, yeah. It's right there, 465 Jenny Lane, Danville, Virginia, 24541. That's where I lay my head down at night. That's where I go during the day, and where my wife and my daughter prepares a meal, where I can go and eat at, and where I can go and take a shower at, and where I can go and rest, and where I can study at. But guess what? It's not my place. It's not mine. I can have the deed to it. I can have the deed to my home, to my land, to everything that I have, and I can have title to my cars and everything, and I can have them made into a plaque, and then what I put them up on a wall. And see that? That's my house. This house is my house. It's paid for. That automobile right there, it's my automobile. It's paid for. That other automobile I have, it's mine. It's paid for. Guess what? No, it ain't you. Why? You always have a lien against it. You know what the lien is? The lien is the taxes. Because now the city of Danville says that you have to have tags on your vehicle. If you don't have tags on your vehicle, you cannot park it in your yard. That's from the city of Danville. One time you didn't have to do that. But now, you know why? Because they want all the money they can get. And I think they go out here and hire a bunch of dummies to come up with figures like that. They ain't worried about the welfare of the people. They worry about the welfare of the back pocket. But I'm here today. I'm with you today. I'm here at Faith Baptist Church, and I'm laying up things in heaven, and my prayer is that when I get there and when I bow at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ,
He gonna present some praying. He gonna present for me with some rewards. That's my prayer, that's my hope. That he's gonna present. I know he's gonna present me with one. And that's the crown of life. If you saved this morning, you're gonna be presented with that crown also. The crown of life, but what other crown are you going to be receiving?
Well, my prayer is that's when I'm going to have more than one there. But if I don't have but one there, the crown of life,
I'm going to still be able to bow down. And I'm going to be like Mary right here. She's going to listen like she listened to Jesus. It's going to be the first time that I'm going to hear his voice. His voice. I know I hear it through the Word of God, but I'm talking about his voice like you speaking to me. I'm going to hear his voice. And I'm going to know it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are you going to know it's the Lord Jesus Christ? There's going to be so many Christians up there, and we're going to all have the new body. We're all going to have the glorified body unto the Lord. You're right, we are that. But there's one difference between me and the difference between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have, and he's going to bear, that no one else on earth is going to have. He's going to have his scars that we've left there. Like when a song said that I was listening to it. Speaking of my own self, during Sunday, right before Sunday school or whatever. But it's talking about being there with Jesus. Jesus died for us. I couldn't do that. As much as I love my daughter, as much as I love my wife, I could not have went out here and done that. I could have went out here and just allowed him to put me up on a cross and stretch me out. And then they'd come up and they'd nail my legs to the cross and my two arms to the cross, and then put the crown on top of my head, and they went and took a spear to my side like they'd done Jesus. They could have done everything just exactly like they done Jesus there. But it wouldn't have been one difference. He rose on the third day. Even the Lord Jesus, what he did, he come back and he touched Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Why did he say Lazarus? Well, if he didn't say Lazarus, he said, just come forth. Man, he'd have had a multitude of people just come forth and push them the graves and everything. He'd have holes all around him. He said, come forth, Lazarus. He was in the grave 4 days. And they said, now he's stinking. Guess what? If they hung me on the cross like that, stretched me out, pierced my side, and I lay and I hung there, stretched out, I'd have died. I'd have died. I'd have been dead. I'd have been dead. Nothing in me could have brought me back to life. And I want to tell you something else too while I'm saying that. You watch this. There's a book going out now. There's a whole lot of individuals. There's a whole lot of preachers out here. It's promoting that book. And they're asking Christians to read it. And they say you need to read it. Because it'll help you on how much of the false doctrine is going on in my head. And I am surprised that the sword of the Lord is selling that book. And they said the same thing, that all Christians need to read that book. I disagree with them. They don't need to read the book. Because it's going to take your strength. You're going to say, well, hey, man, I ain't even heard my preacher say anything like that. You can die now, and you can go to heaven. When you get there, you can see all the beauty and everything. Then you come back to earth, and then you go around and you tell people what you saw and how beautiful heaven is. Ain't what my Bible teaches. And I'll be the first to tell anybody, if I ever get to heaven, I'm going to stand there and I'm going to beg the Lord and I'm going to beg God and I'm going to beg the angels and I'm going to beg her mother-in-law and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law and my grandmother and old brother Mays Jackson. I'm going to beg him. I'm going to beg them all up there. Keep me here. I want to stay with y'all. I don't go back to that old sinful, cursed world I just left. Nobody else does either.
But Mary and Martha. Martha was more concerned about how the house looked. How clean it was. How neat it was. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha went to the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ had just complained by her sister and left her. And she was at the feet. That's where she needed to be. That's what Martha needed to be. Martha was more concerned about how the house looked and how the food was prepared. We don't need to be caught up with an everyday life and everything things and pleasing what other people think about us. The way we keep our home, the way we keep our houses and all that. Yes, it's good to be keep a neat house. It is. But you do not go and spend your time on cleaning up and all of that before you take time out for the Lord every day first. Need to take time out for the Lord first in our life. And if we do, then He'll make everything else today go smooth. Now, I don't know about y'all. I've heard her sometimes. She complains, ain't nothing going right today. How many of y'all have been that way? It seemed like, well, nothing went right today. Nothing going right today. Why? One thing, we're worrying about the wrong thing. We need to worry about a relationship with the Lord. And I'm not saying that you don't have a relationship, but what I'm saying is that you need to have a time by yourself with the Lord. You need to talk to Him. And if it's so much ruckus going on in the house, around the house, if it's during the morning hours or day or whatever, and I'll go back in and I'll shut my door and everything, and as soon as I start praying or as soon as I start studying, what's going to happen? The phone's going to ring.
the phone start ringing. And we ain't got to worry about just a house phone. Now we've got a cell phone. You've got a cell phone. Wife's got a cell phone. Your daughter's got a cell phone. Son's got a cell phone. Grandchildren come in, they got cell phones. And here, you hear this, you back out praying, and all your cell phones going off. How in the world can you get anything done? You can't. I just get in my automobile. And my wife, she said, I mean, sometimes they beg me not to go out alone. Because they're scared that I'm not, but they scared out the reason for it because I might not show back up. But sometimes they say, well, you're going off the road one day. Well, hey, Lord's with me now. But, I mean, I just get in my automobile. I cut my radio off. Ain't nobody in there but me, Lord, and my altar, which is disturbing me. And I start talking to the Lord. And I start praying. And the next thing I know, here it is, I've been out here riding for 45 minutes. How did I get here? I have no idea. Have you ever been like that? You went somewhere and you, when you got there, you don't remember from where you left from? Have you? I have plenty of time. Sometimes I want to talk to the Lord. Sometimes it was just this old scatterbrain of mine, just forgetful.
That was promised us we were and didn't at birth until Jesus came in. And when he come in, she wanted to go listen to him because she had heard him talk before. She wanted to listen to him. I mean, how many, I'm going to ask this question and just be honest with you. No, don't be honest with me. Be honest with the Lord. How many have you ever just been alone? And you had to said a word, you had to speak nothing. And then all of a sudden, your tear ducts have started hurting them. Start thinking about where I once was.
Once headed. I was once headed toward Hagar with no hope at all. But thanks be unto God, it won't just God the Father, God the Son, and that's it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, to God the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit's what convicted my heart. He said, son, I've been with you for a little while now. I've been riding with you, been talking to you. But now you need to talk to the Lord. The Lord wants to talk to you. But you've got to follow enough to get communication. And as you open up the communication line between you and the Lord, but first of all, I believe he thanks the Holy Spirit for bringing conviction unto me. The Holy Spirit, you know, I believe this. Once the Holy Spirit gets a hold of an individual's heart, and then the Holy Spirit tells them that the Lord wants to speak to you, and you need to speak to the Lord. And I believe that just as soon as you are about ready to open that communication line between you and the Lord, when the communication line, right before it opens, I believe you're saved. Why? Because of what God can do. Because nothing else that I know of can change an individual's heart like the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and each one of them has their own specific duties.
Well, down here in verse 40, it says, in the latter part of that, it said, Lord, doest thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha was asking the Lord, said, Lord, says, will you please talk to my sister and ask her to come in here and help me? I need help. The Lord didn't care anything about how her house looked. Only thing the Lord was cared about was her soul. How was her spiritual life? You know, the Lord don't care anything about the things that we do. What he cares about is our spiritual life. Where we're going to get the spiritual food at, I believe it's in God's house. I believe it's when we need to come in to fellowship one with another. We need to come in and fellowship, and we need to worship God in a house. And I don't come here to serve the Lord. I don't come in here and serve Him. I didn't come here this morning to serve the Lord this morning. And I didn't come here just to serve Him because I'm a pastor of the church. I come here this morning to worship Him. Now, when I go out them doors, and when the doors are locked, and when I go out in the harvest, which is a field outside, that's where I'm supposed to serve Him. That's where I'm supposed to start speaking about the Lord, telling people how good God's been to me. How good has God been to you? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have food on the table? You have clothes on your back? God has blessed us so much that we forget about our blessings. He's blessed us so much. And we forget about all the other things He does. He don't just bless us with a job. He don't just bless us with a home and food to eat, clothes on our back and shoes on our feet, and good health. That is not all of His blessings. Look at all the other blessings that He provides in the morning. First thing in the morning when we open up our eyes, then He's blessed us for a new day. A new day. They say, I've heard people say, and I've heard doctors say, that during the night, when an individual is when they're sleeping, and in a deep sleep or something like that, they are like an individual that's in a coma. That a comatose state. It's the nearest thing to death. Day is.
But the Lord gives us something to wake up to. What does He give us? Something to wake up to? Because He knows there's somebody, ain't there, that is among the people, that's in the world, that's lost, and it's a good possibility they may go to hell today once they get in at Automobile and they drive for the first time that day. They could be in an accident and lose their life. There's, I don't know how many, I ain't read the paper this morning, I don't know how many obituaries there was in the paper this morning, but look at all the others that's been in the paper all week. None of them this week, this morning, this week, last month, last year, they weren't expecting what they was about to face. They weren't expecting it. But this I want to share with you. You don't know what holds the future for you for this week, do you? If somebody, if one of y'all, or if all of y'all woke up this one morning this week, or if some of y'all have got a call that my wife has called you, and says, Donnie just had a massive heart attack. What would you do? What would you do? First thing I tell you, don't cry over me. Don't go to Ren Yates and have a homecoming there. Go meet people that it's been years since you meet them. Well, you know it's been 5 or 6 years since I've seen you. Why does people go to the funeral? I think they just go to a funeral home just to, where they can meet people that they hadn't seen. Don't do that. Not for me. I'm not there. But if you do come, if you happen to open the, if she happens to have the casket open and you look at my body, now, I'm going to come back and haunt each and every one of you. If y'all come and say, well, don't he look good? I ain't seen nobody yet to look good. He's laying in a casket. I don't know why I'm saying that to me. But I ain't there anyhow. You're wasting your word. You're wasting what energy God's given you. Don't waste your energy. We don't need to waste our energy. We don't need to waste our time on things that does not matter. Just like I told the people Wednesday night. I said something Wednesday night, I believe it was, or last Sunday, whatever. That worry. I know what worry is. I know what the Bible says about worry. Worry is a sin. It is a sin. Something else is also a sin too. It's not having faith in God. But worry will challenge our faith for God to help us with the things that we don't have control of. We got things we don't have control over. And Martha right here, she was wasting her breath by going to the Lord Jesus. I said, would you please beg my sister to come and help me? That's where the Lord wanted her. The Lord wanted Martha there also.
Father, Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for once again that we can be in thy house. And Lord, we pray, Father, that this message, Father, someone will get something out of it, Father. Father, we know, Lord, that you can rearrange this message in a way that will touch the individual's hearts. And Father, put it upon each one of our hearts that we will be, from this day forward, Lord, we'll be more faithful unto thee. That Father, we just want to come in and fellowship with you. It's so many times that people, they just seem like they don't want to come in fellowship. And Father, sometimes there's people, Christians, Father, that it's been a long time since they just got along with you and talked to you, Lord. You want to hear something from them. And you're not the type of individual that will ever force yourself on anybody. You want the people to come to thee willingly, Father, so they can really experience the true meaning of what serving you is all about. And Father, we do thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you for each and every one individual that came out. Now, Father, my prayer is that each one of the individuals, as we depart our ways, Father, that we can go to our respective homes this afternoon after the luncheon, Father, that we can go home and Father, that we can think about the things that we must do, that we must be focused on you first. And Father, when we put you first in our lives each and every day, it makes everything else go so smoothly. Father, bring the people back. Father, because we're looking and we're expecting great and mighty things here at Faith Baptist Church. We thank you for what you've done. We're going to thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right.